While you're standing, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we've been kind of hitting this chapter. We've hit it twice now. This will be our third time in Hebrews 12. And this is a beautiful section here that we'll look at tonight. It's all good, I know that. But Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 5 through 9. 5 through 9. I'll read verse 5, and you read verse 6 with me. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And let's pray together. Father, we come tonight. I just ask, please, I know how you have helped me with this. And Lord, it helps my thinking. It helps my Christian life. And I wish, please, help me to pass it on what you've... Lord, I pray that, please, you would guide my mind. Help us tonight. And please work in our midst. And Lord, thank you again for your precious word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Okay, you can be seated there. Now, you've got a chapter here, and he says we're in a race, verse 1. So since we're in a race, we need to lay aside the weights, that's priorities, and sin that does so easily beset us. Then it tells us the recipe for making it through this race. The first thing we need to do is look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we've been through these verses a little bit, and I don't want to rehash them. I just think the whole chapter is neat because it says, you're in a race for God. When you got saved, you were put in a race. And how far you run and you finishing the race is what God's going to reward you for when we get to heaven. Some aren't running. Some are walking. Some are walking the other way. Some are running the other way, the wrong way. But you're in a race. And so the Christian life is likened to this. And I like verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then it says here, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. The one that sets the pace and the one that is our example is Jesus. And he says, I want you to consider or think in detail about how Jesus ran and the opposition he had when he showed us what to do. We've not gone through, they tried to stone him 3 times. It wasn't his time, and the Lord allowed him to slip from their midst because it wasn't time for him to die yet. But no one's ever tried to stone me, right? I've never been lied about to that extent that the Lord Jesus was. He said, consider him, think about what Jesus went through when he showed us how to do this. And he says, contradiction of sinners, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Some have. I haven't. My Christianity's never cost me my blood. I've told you before, my wife has been pushed. No one's punched me while out soul winning. I'm not looking for it either. Amen. But I've never been through that. Jesus went through a lot more for me than I've been through for him. Amen. So God says, consider what Jesus went through. You've not yet resisted unto blood, like Jesus did. Praise the Lord, he died and was buried and rose again. Now, you start verse 5. And from 5 to verse 11, verse 5 to verse 11 is a whole section on chastening. It's probably the biggest section in the Bible. There's verses on chastening, and we're going to look at them tonight. But this is the biggest section of Scripture. And isn't it interesting? We're in a race. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Think about what he went through. And it's going to get hard. So to keep you from quitting in your minds, he says, I want you to think about, don't forget some hard times that we go through. I said this morning, some of our wounds are self-inflicted. We did it to ourselves, right? It wasn't the devil, wasn't the world. We did it. Well, if you understand trials and tribulations in our Christian life, we're supposed to keep going through those. I could take you to 1 Peter 4:19, take you to several scripture. Trials and hard times and struggles we push through to do what? When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. They make me stronger. So there's some things in the Christian life when we're hurting, when we're suffering, the pain, we push through keeping our eyes on the Lord and we just keep the pace and we keep on running. When it comes to chastisement, when you spank a child, you're trying to get them to stop doing what they're doing. And some Christians treat trials and tribulations, they don't think chastisement. And when God is spanking them, telling them, stop, they're like, gotta keep on going. Gotta. And you're like, you being spanked by the Lord is between you and God. Nobody can go up to you and say, hey, wow, Lord really paddled your behind, didn't he? That's between you and God. And you know that. How you handle trials is the exact opposite of how you handle chastening. And when the Holy Spirit of God touches your heart, saying, I remember I asked Gene Johnson, I said, so how do you know when you're being spanked by the Lord? I was a young Christian, and old Gene Johnson, the man that taught me soul winning, it's just he and I up in the Soul Winner Center. He goes, what, son? And he ripped off his belt. If I start whipping your behind right now, are you going to know it? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, when God whips you, you know it. You don't ever wonder. So in trials and tribulations, we're taught, keep on going for the Lord. Don't quit. Don't let nothing stop you. But when you're being spanked by God, God's trying to get you to stop. What is the purpose of a spanking? To change behavior, right? So I remember watching one guy, the kid was throwing a fit. And it was a she, and she had just started crawling. And the dad said, stop. So he grabbed this and she wouldn't stop, right? She kept crawling on the floor and over towards it. Stop. And so he grabbed this ping pong paddle, that big, okay? And he goes, I said stop. It was their first child. If I told you who it was, he's preached here before. But I remember watching that and I sat in the chair. You know, here I was a Marine, not married, single, all this. And I'm watching and it never worked. She still kept, like, I said stop, like that. And then I read a book on proper child discipline. The purpose of a spanking is to change behavior. And if the behavior is not changed, then you didn't properly spank, right? There's a wonderful verse. Let's read through this a little bit, and then I want to show you some verses. Watch this. Just thinking about chastisement, verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So you say, why is this an issue? Because it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. If we're all in a race, then there's going to come a time where all of us get a spanking sometime. Praise the Lord, it's not all at the same time. But if you're in the race, there's going to come a time you get chastened. And God is saying in his word, don't forget some of the hard times you go through is me trying to steer your life. So don't let that discourage you. You accept the chastisement. Here we go. Okay, take your Bible and go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy. Keep your finger there. We'll come back to Hebrew. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And one of the neat verses on chastening is right here. Now look at verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5. Thou shalt also consider. Now what's the word consider? It means think in detail. It means more than meditate. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. God didn't learn proper spanking from us. We learned proper spanking from the Lord. Now, when my dad whipped me, my dad, first of all, was abused as a child. His dad used coat hangers, and it was, Grandpa Nash was very rough. And my dad always said, son, I'm not going to spank you. He said, if I spank you, I'll kill you. So my dad had a way of disciplining. He would, if he told me to do something and then I didn't do it, I remember it very well. He would rock my world. He would take his hand like this and he would right on top of my head and that was Dad's way of discipline. He said, the purpose of correcting a child is to cause pain with the disobedience. So what are you teaching a child? With every disobedience comes pain, right? And that's how come spanked children get saved easier than unspanked children. They're reminded, if you do wrong, pain follows, not harm. Nobody's for mistreating a child, okay? And that's another reason I don't think you hear a whole lot of this teaching, but a proper spanking involves pain. Why? For correction. Now, God, we learned this from the Lord, okay? Let me show you two other verses here. Watch this. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12, right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm. Okay, watch this. Proverbs 3:12. Go ahead and start at verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. I think that's amazing. God says, when you're spanked by the Lord, you know God loves you. Because what kind of a child doesn't get spanking? Someone the parent doesn't want. So what does a spanking, what does the child, at first, what does the child eventually learn? Wow, my parents took time to correct me. And what does a child that's not spanked grow up? They grow up because they didn't give them the discipline that they need. So God says, as a father, look, every father wants his boy to turn out right, and he knows he has to have discipline. So we're learning this from God. We delight in our sons. That's why we correct them. One more verse here. Go ahead and go to Proverbs 23. Look at verse 14 and 15. Then we'll go back to Hebrews 12. Proverbs, verse 13 and 14. 23, 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. In this day and age, I know pastors who have taught on properly spanking children, and they've been sued for the sermon over and over again. That's just the day and age we live. Look what God says. He says, if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. You know where that comes from? As far as God endorses this teaching. If I'm too hard on you, you'll make it in life. But if I'm not hard enough on you, you'll fail. Because life is no parents out to beat their children. But I am going to have to be hard on you. I think that's where the word beat comes from. Okay? Wait till you see some other words here. Now let's look at verse 14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Whoa. Remember I told you unspanked children don't get saved very easy. They've got to learn, God, you know, the Father represents God and the Creator, and they've got to learn consequences of doing wrong. But when you properly discipline a child, they learn. Pain comes with disobedience that testifies of a coming hell. Doesn't it? That's why they get saved at age 3, age 4, age 5. It's easy. Properly spank your children, you'll deliver their soul from hell. They'll get saved a lot easier, okay? Go back to Hebrews 12. We'll look at a few more verses tonight, but watch this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It's wonderful when you as a Christian can think, I know this sounds backwards, but you get used to it in the Christian life. The more God loves you, the more he spanks you carefully, right? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Then watch this, verse 7. If ye endure chastening, if you can get the right mindset and not get angry at God when he spanks you or swats you or causes pain to come into your life to do what? Steer you. Then he says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Now we looked at verses how God spanks us like our fathers spanked us. But that's a sign of love. It's supposed to be a sign of love. And not spanking is a sign of hatred. Or it's amazing how we're watching, not in our church, but as far as someone in our church is a nanny, and what makes teaching in a school hard nowadays, dealing with anybody else's children, or is you watch the no parenting. They either drop the kids off at the school and expect the school to raise their kids, or if they're at home, it's amazing how little they have to do with their children. That's why the nanny is hired. I don't want to raise them. Here, you teach them. You do this. No spankings, no nothing, no teaching. No, the child's most impressionable life is between the ages of 1 and 5. They say they learn more between 1 and 5. That's the time you teach them, not drop them off at a daycare. You take advantage of that time and you pour into their life. We're entering a different age. Okay, watch this. It says here, watch this, verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. Everybody eventually gets spanked by the Lord. Why? Because God loves you. God's not looking to spank you. God loves you enough to spank you, right? The only people who aren't spanked are those who haven't been saved very long. But just give it a while. Amen? You will get spanked from the Lord. Look at verse 8. It says, then are ye bastards and not sons. It's the only time the word bastard is used in the Bible. You know, when they used to preach as far as, well, you know, if you're saved, you won't do this and you won't do this. And you can tell you're saved if this, you know, if you've stopped doing that, all that garbage, okay? I think this is very plain. One way you can tell you're saved is if God spanks you. And if you've never been spanked by the Lord, you might want to think that one through. Because God says, he uses the word bastard because it's not just saying, well, if you've never been chastened, you're lost. It's saying you're someone who is saying you're saved, but you're illegitimate. You're a phony. Interesting using the word bastard. We don't use it. Don't start using it after this sermon, okay? But it is used in an interesting sense in you're portraying yourself as a Christian, but you've never been spanked by God. God's never tanned your hide, taken you out to the woodshed. That's a sign that you're illegitimate. You're not real because God spanks everyone because why? He loves us enough to spank us, right? Keep on going. Look at this. It says here, verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. In other words, I respected my dad because if I didn't do what he said, yeah, there was a fear of dad. He was going to whap me on the head. I mean, he would rock my world. I remember, you want to hear a story? We went into Sears. Dad said, don't touch nothing. And I was 6 years old. And Mom always went one place when we went to Sears. Sears doesn't even exist anymore, does it? It's like Kmart. Crud, I just dated myself. Okay. Mom would go one direction and Dad went to the same spot, auto, all the time. Well, I remember it very well. We had just gotten these coats. It was Michigan winter, right? And remember the kind that zipped all out here, and then you had this tunnel that you kind of looked through like this. Well, guess what I did when I put on my coat? I felt up here pretty soft. I literally thought before Dad whapped me, yeah, Dad could hit me up there, and I don't hurt that bad. Right, right? I did. Every hat I got, I always did this. I was like, yeah, no, that won't work. But anyways, we had just gotten these brand new coats, my sister and I. And we went with Dad to the auto parts, and Mom went, and Dad plainly said, don't touch nothing. Don't touch it. You can look, stick with me, and don't touch nothing. Well, I remember they had this two shelves down this one row. Remember those things that they would put into the pegboard and it was a basket like this? Well, they had like tons of wrenches in it, right? So it just started out 1/4 inch. I mean, worked its way through, and these baskets were all along the wall. And there was two, I don't know what happened. I think they rigged it before I got in there. But I looked down the aisle. I was sneaky. I looked down the aisle. Dad was over there asking about this part and stuff. I had to touch one of those wrenches. I had to. I don't know what happened, but when I reached in there, the thing collapsed on the floor, and all of these wrenches go, and I went, oh, oh, oh. Dad goes, I remember Dad, he goes, what in the, oh, like this, everything starts happening in slow motion, you know, the world goes dark, and then it's like, Dad rocked my world. I told you not to touch nothing. I said that to say we reverenced and respected our fathers who properly disciplined us because they wanted us to turn out right. Right? If I don't spank you, you're going to end up in jail. Dad used to say, I remember when I became a teenager. Dad used to say, it's very important. He said, when you were little, he said, I expected you to obey every word I said. He said, because I knew there would be times your life would depend on. If you were walking out in the road and you didn't see the car and I said, stop, he said, you had to obey my every word. I was like, wow, Dad really put a lot of thought into that. We reverenced our fathers. Now watch the verse. Watch the verse. We've had fathers, we gave them reverence, right in the middle of verse 9. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? And if my dad could love me to that point, and he demanded, he insisted on obedience, there was no question, and I learned not to question, then how much more does our Heavenly Father say, I need you to respond to my every word, because there will be times in your life where your life depends on. It'll cost you more than you could ever know. Shall we not be in subjection, place ourselves under? If I don't do right, God's going to spank me. Aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation? Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 26. Go back just a couple of verses. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Well, that doesn't mean Jesus died only for the sins you do out of ignorance. That's goofy. Jesus died for all of my sins. What happens when you willfully sin? Read it one more time. If we sin willfully, we knew what was right, but we did wrong anyways. After that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, comma, but a fearful, certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. God's not going to send me to hell when I knowingly do wrong. But if we sin willfully, God says, now I have to spank you for that. Now, has God spanked you for everything you've knowingly done wrong? Do you know why? Because he's plenteous and he delights in mercy. What is mercy? God not giving me what I deserve. God hasn't whapped me on the head every time I got pulled a stupid stunt. But if you aren't careful, you're going to use God's mercy and justify doing more wrong because, well, guess I got away with that. Well, guess I got away. And instead of thinking about chastisement, you're thinking about what you can get away with more, and you're using God's mercy to stack it up instead of, wow, God's really been. He has not, what's it say in Psalm 103? He hath not dealt with us after. But when you sin willfully, there is a fearful looking for of judgment. I did it. I knew it was wrong. I like how Jim used to say, Jim, when we do our Bible study, he said, yeah, when I do wrong, I'm like, what, I have to do that? Now I got to get spanked. Having the right mindset. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 10. Hebrews 12:10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Their own pleasure. What pleasure does a dad get out of spanking? Well, there is a family name involved. Now, what's sad is when the children are disciplined only when somebody else outside the family is watching because they care more about the image than they do the kid turning out right, and I've seen that too. They don't spank at home, but when they're at church, they get wailed on because they want everybody to think we got good kids. I've seen that several times. That's sad. They ought to be getting spanked both times. But it says, for their pleasure they chastened us, because there is a family name involved. Watch this. But he, God, chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So God chastens me for my good, because he wants me to enjoy him. What a God. What a way to think. God says, I want you to think about this. Watch this. Partakers of his holiness, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. Nobody enjoys getting spanked. Nobody. Dads don't enjoy it, and the kids don't either. But I like this one statement. I remember this when our kids were little. I watched a dad. He taught on spanking. He said, when we go into the room, he said, go to the room, wait for it. What'd you do? Did you do wrong? Did I tell you not to do that? Yes. Then this came in. Here's the dad talking to the child. Does God tell daddy to spank you when you do wrong? Yes, he does. Now I have to spank you, and if I don't, I'm a bad daddy, right? And the child would say, yes. There was an understand. I just thought that was wise. Daddy's not spanking you because he wants to. Daddy is spanking you because God tells. Amen. So there's an understanding. Here we go. Keep on going. Watch this. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There's your verses on chastening. this would get into a little bit. And once again, I haven't heard a whole lot of people. There's less and less teaching on it. Let's look at the rod real quick in Proverbs. Just three verses. Go to Proverbs 13:24. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes or many times. God spanks me because when I love my children, I spank because I want them to learn. And if I don't, if they're not worth my time, that's why he that spareth his rod hateth his son. I don't care about you. I don't care how you turn out, and I don't care about the lessons you learn. You're not worth my time, because if I properly spank you and explain what you've done wrong and then go, it's going to cost me my time, you're not worth my time. That's what I watch happen in parenting, where they don't spank their kids. We had a family at one of the churches we were at. The mom, I've seen what happens when you don't spank kids. When that family would come to church, I can't remember how many kids they had, 7 or 6 or something. The whole thing was messed up. The oldest teenage boy, I think, was 14 or 15. The dad would chase him in the parking lot around the church. Come here, I told you. Like this. It was a show every Sunday. And the mother would plainly say, we don't spank our... And I was like, but you're wearing your husband out. You know what I mean? And then my wife had him in class. I had him in class. Kid was demon-possessed. I don't know how else to tell you. I mean, he was evil. Look at a couple more verses. Ready? Watch this. That's Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Look at Proverbs 22:15. Look at Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 22, look at verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You can't raise kids, good kids, without spanking. You can give them timeouts if you want. You can talk to them if you want. You can ground them if you want, but you will not raise good children without spanking, period. We should be learning that. All not spanking them does is fill up the prison. It's amazing to me. When they're young is when they have to have the discipline, but put them in a daycare. And I remember one time we were at someone's house, and this 1.5-year-old was, you know, okay, open up. You know, the mother's trying to feed it like that, and she'd put the, you know, spoon in, and she'd like this, and then, you know, spit it back out at the mother. The mother's response, I'd have jerked that kid. Here was the mother's response. Oh, she's so cute. I said, you think that's cute? Wait till she's 10. She'll be throwing knives at you. I got called you say, does that really happen? When I was a youth director, I remember a mother called me, her 12-year-old son. She said, could you come over to the house? My son is throwing knives at me. Now, I had to go in there, and she said, well, make him obey. I was like, I think it's too late for that. He needed his hide tanned when he was little. You never spanked him. Now you have a monster. I couldn't go in there. I've been called for everything. My son won't get out of bed. Would you come and get him out of bed? What? I went over to the house. Mother told him, I told him 15 times to get out of that bed. I said, I'll tell him once. I said, get up. I said, okay, to the kitchen. Got some water and... what? You know, I said, I told you. All I'm saying is, that's the way I was raised. I tell you one time. Did you know God says, if I love you, I've told you what's right. I gave you my word. Amen? Let's look at one more verse. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 15. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Watch this. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. They need the Bible read to them. They do need the Bible read to them. They do need devotions. But God says, unless you properly spank that child, they won't get wisdom. You can yell all you want. Have you ever noticed in a home, I have, where they don't spank their kids, there's a lot of yelling going on. They substitute the, I said, you know, I mean, we see it on the bus route, and we see it all over. It's so sad. My dad never yelled at me. My mom never yelled at me. When we had our kids, I don't think we yelled at our kids. Ask Abby when I'm not around, okay? We didn't yell at our kids. We spanked our kids, amen, properly, because we loved them. But watch this. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It's amazing. It's so sad to me to watch children who don't have someone to love them enough to invest in. teach them and help them and spend time with them. And my goodness, you know, they're not perfect kids, but that's why but the dog hears about it when they go into a restaurant. Oh, wow, your kids are so nice. That's because the group that just left was throwing plates across the restaurant. You know what I mean? It's sad. Okay, it's just like when somebody comes to our church and says, boy, I really enjoy the Bible teaching and preaching. Well, it shouldn't be that rare, right? It ought to be at the church right up the road, too. But it's rare. Same thing with the proper home and disciplined children. Now let's go back to our Christian life. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. God tells us here, I want you to think about, consider in your minds, you're in a race. We're running for the Lord. And when you get spanked, it's coming. Don't quit. Take the correction. Everybody spanks differently, you know. Some, you know, bend over the bed. Some bend over the knee. I remember hearing the old timers talk. They said when they got sent to the room, they had to drop their britches. Now, me, I never did that with my kids. You know what I mean? I was just like, I'll swat hard enough, but I never had my kids bare their bottom. Okay? Do you think it's wrong? No, I don't. It's just something I heard the old timers talking. The blueness of the wound cleanseth sin. Nobody was out to their kids, but they understood pain is supposed to follow. They didn't raise good kids. And when the kids get older, they call their mother blessed, and they thank the Lord for my dad cared enough to chasten. Your heavenly Father, but you have to have the mindset if we're going to finish this race. God will spank, and he spanks everyone he saves. And the only way you know it's spanking is when the Holy Spirit of God says, this is happening. You know why this is happening. Do I think everything that happens wrong is a chastisement? No, and I don't. It's really none of my business. I don't visit somebody in the hospital and, you know, fresh out of the car wreck, and there they are all laid up and the IV's going, and I say, well, guess God got your tie this time, huh? That's none of my business, right? But if they're saved and they've been running from God, they know. They know. The Lord doesn't hide it from. During trials, we keep on going because God uses them to make us stronger. When God chastens, he's trying to get a stop. 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 And have you ever noticed God uses minimum force? What's minimum force? Just like Egypt. Okay, here comes plague number one, right? Turns the waters to blood. You going to let my people go?
Nope. Nope. Ain't good.
Okay, fine. And here comes the flies. Still, now you going to let my people go? Pharaoh went through 10 plagues till finally God uses minimum. I think there's a beautiful story in that. God uses minimum force till finally 10th plague. I'll kill your boy. Firstborn son out of every home dies. Didn't start that way, did it? God's a God of minimum. God says, I want you to do right, and I care enough. I don't whap you with a 2x4 every time you blow it. He's got a big bomb in the closet. I'm thankful he doesn't use it every time I sin. He's a loving father, and we're supposed to think about him that way as far as chastisement. If we sin willfully, there remains more sacrifice. That's one I get spanked for. Aren't you glad God's not spanked me. He's a loving God. We have a good heavenly Father. Let's pray. Father, I pray that please use this truth tonight. I know it has. You said,